than preach this morning since we didn't do a Sunday school. And our topic this month had been to do with the Christmas theme, and it was the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. So if you could stand with me, we just want to read from John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. We'll get you out here before 3 o'clock. This restaurants will still have food. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Amen. We'll get you out a lot sooner than that. John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the next scripture I'd like to read is 1 Corinthians 15:45. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And as I said, the theme for this month was the Word made flesh. But the Word was made flesh so that the flesh could be made spirit. And my title, if you want to call it that, is The Flesh Made Spirit. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence, for your anointing. Lord, give me utterance, O God, that what I speak will edify, that it will bless, that it will encourage, that it will lift up. We thank you right now for your word is already anointed in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this is the season that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And it's such an important historic event that the very date worldwide is based upon his birth. This is the year, the full title is the year of our Lord, right? In the Latin, Anno Domini, or Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, 2017. This date is December, what? The 24th, 2017, in the year of our Lord. So it's been 2,000-something years since this event happened on earth, where God became man, where the Word became flesh. And it's such a historic event that, as I said, the calendars are dated from this. Before that, we talk about B.C., before Christ. Of course, today, to try and be politically correct, they try to get Christ out of it. And now they call it the Common Era. They don't call it, A.D. or B.C. Now, they've been trying to purge Christ out of it and call it C.E., the Common Era. But we know what the Common Era was for. It was the day that God incarnated and became a man. And all this month we've been talking and teaching about the fact of why that happened. The Bible says he was in all points tempted, such as we are, yet without sin, so that when we pray, when we're sick, when we're depressed, when we feel down, he understands what we're going through. He can understand pain. He can understand hunger. He can understand tiredness. I preached a message a few months ago about don't let the journey wear you out. We read in the scripture of how Jesus was journeying, and he walked everywhere. He didn't jump into his car to get here today, as you did. But he walked everywhere, and we see that he came to this place in Samaria, and the scripture specifically says he was wearied with the journey. Jesus himself got tired in his flesh, and he sat down upon a well. And as I preached the last time, it's important where you're going to take your rest. It's important where you sit down in this life. If you're going to rest somewhere, make sure it's on a place where you can get refreshed. Jesus rested by the well. And so we see that in his humanity, he was able to experience everything that we can experience, so that he is able to understand that when we pray and we say, Lord, I'm tired, I'm depressed, I'm feeling so alone, he's able to understand what you're going through. On the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to, even to that point, feel the way we feel. When we don't feel like we have any friends, when we don't feel that there's anyone we can reach out to, he went through that. That's why the Word was made flesh. Because a spirit can't experience pain. A spirit can't be crucified. A spirit can't eat in the way we would eat. A spirit cannot feel those things that we are feeling today. So the Word was made flesh so that he could understand what you're going through. You know, I said some months ago on Bible study that how would you teach a person born without eyes or born blind from birth, how would you teach them about the color blue? There's no way. Because the reason why we can use language is because we have a common experience. We all have experienced the same thing. So when I say it's wet outside, because we've all been wet, you can immediately understand what I mean. That's why Jesus had to have an earthly common experience so that he can understand when you're going through things, when you're suffering, when you're in pain. He came so that he could have that common experience that when you say, I'm depressed and I'm hurting, he understands. He has been through that. They called him names. They cussed him out. They spat upon him. They misused him. So there's nothing you've been through that Jesus does not understand. To me, that's a comfort, because that's a comfort. When I tell him I'm hungry, he understands I'm hungry. When I tell him I'm afraid and I'm worried about the bills, he understands. We see that we have no more mention of Joseph in the story after they came back when he was age 12. So we surmise that he must have died. That meant that Mary was a single mother. Jesus lived in a one-parent household. He understands what you're going through. If you came from where you only had a mother or you didn't have a father all your life, he understands. He understands being called illegitimate. They said, the Pharisees said to him, we know who our father is. Hint, hint. We know about the story how your mother got pregnant before she was married. We know who our father is. See, he understands when people slander you, when they call you names. He's been there, done that. That's why he is able to understand when you pray. You don't have to teach him your pain. You don't have to teach him what it's like. He has had that common experience. So when you say pain, he understands. Just like when I say that it's wet outside, you understand, because I assume all of you have gotten wet at some time. Amen? You've had that common experience. Because the Word was made flesh, he has had that common experience. Because God decided to humble himself and take on a human body and not be born in a palace. How many people were born at home? I was born at home. Probably most of you were born in a very clean hospital room, right? Very clean hospital. You can't get lower than being born in a stable. That's why the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the Christ, but they couldn't find him because they thought the king was going to be born in a palace. But he got to the point that he was born in a stable. Who's been in a stable? I used to have to help out in a stable because I wanted to learn to ride the horses. So part of the deal was, okay, you can ride for free if you will clean out the stable. So I've cleaned out some stables. And that is an experience. You see, we have these beautiful pictures of this nice, clean stable with a beautiful straw. And that's not how it was. That's not how a stable is. There are aromas in a stable. There are aromas in a stable. It doesn't smell very pleasant. So when he was made flesh, he can understand being homeless because his very birth was not in a building. He can understand what you're going through. And he came so that the Word was made flesh, but that wasn't the end of it. There was a purpose why he came. He came so that Word that was made flesh could make our flesh spirit. You see, that's what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or a life-giving spirit. He was made flesh so that our flesh could be made spirit. Amen? Amen. Isn't that awesome? Because this flesh, all it can do is feel pain. All it can do is suffer. I doubt that there is a person that was ever born that, no matter what circumstance they were born, even if they were born into wealth, that hasn't suffered something. But he has created us to be his image and his likeness. And so the word was made flesh that our flesh could be made spirit. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the story of the birth is given in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And as you know, in Hebrew, that word Miriam, and it means bitter. It means bitter. If you remember when they were coming out of Egypt, and they came into the desert, as they escaped from Pharaoh, they came out into the desert, and there was no water, and they finally came across some water. But the name of the place where the water was Marah, which is the Hebrew word for Mary, and it meant bitter. It meant bitter. They couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. But God told Moses, take a branch from off this tree and throw it into the water and it will become sweet. You see, Mary's life, we don't know much about her life. We know that there was something special about her because of the way she interacted with the angel. She just said, okay, so be it, Lord. If this is your choice for me to be the bearer of this miracle, so be it. She didn't kick up a storm. So we can tell that she was a humble person. We can tell that she dealt with trouble in a very graceful way, with strange things in a very graceful way. Because imagine this thing happening. It had never happened in history before. A pregnancy without relationship of a man. She would have thought, well, who is going to believe this? Of course, Joseph didn't. Unless the angel had come to him and told him, this is okay, Joseph, he would not have believed. But we can see that her attitude was one of humility. She was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And the angel said unto her, verse 30, jumping down to verse 30, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You know, sometimes the things that come in our life don't look like favor. I'm going to be pregnant. That's a favor. That doesn't sound like too much of a favor. That's going to be 9 months of some unhappiness. I've told many women, I'm so glad I'm not a woman. I'm so glad. Yes, us men should applaud for that. I've been at the birth of all of my four children, and each time I feel the same way, like useless, helpless, and Lord, what have I done? Amen. Amen. I saw the other day, some man had volunteered. I don't know what this was for, but I saw this in the news, that they were trying to give men the experience of childbirth. So this man had injected him with some kind of thing. I don't know who would volunteer for this, but apparently this guy did. And you saw it on the news? Okay. And they injected it with this thing that was going to give the symptoms of childbirth, and he was bawling like a baby. Amen. So I don't know how this would be favor, but you know, in Mary's case, although she could not tell what this favor was going to be, it was an honor. She was going to be the vessel for God to come to earth. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Many times, some of the things we go through, they don't look at first like a favor, but how do we approach it? Paul said, I have learned in whatever circumstance I find myself to be content. You know, if you trust God, that's what you will learn. If you truly trust God, you believe God loves you, then you can be content no matter what circumstance, because you know God has got your back. Now, if you don't trust God or if you don't believe, then you're going to be in a panic. Then you're going to be worried. But Mary here must have had a deep relationship, because instead of screaming and going wild and going nuts, she says, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And she asked the question, well, how shall this be? You know, sometimes we're in circumstance, we don't know how God is going to work it out. And we ask the question, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to make it? You see, this is a process of the flesh being made spirit. It starts with faith and trust. Verse 35, the angel started to explain how it was that flesh is going to be made into spirit. And the angel answered her and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. That's the first step. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see, the Word was made flesh for a purpose. Jesus came not to just us have a yearly gift-giving ceremony every year. That's great. It's wonderful to give gifts and to receive gifts. But there was a purpose for the Word to be made flesh. There was a purpose that he came. The Word was made flesh that he could, through his death, make our flesh spirit. That's why the Word was made flesh, so that we could come back to God and be made spirit. In his image, in his likeness, in Genesis, that's how we were created. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, we were made in his image and his likeness. In fact, the lie that has been told is that we are so far from God. But originally, we were God's highest creation. There is no other creature in Scripture where it says that they were created in his image and in his likeness. But because of sin, because of man's fall, we lost that relationship. When Adam and Eve sinned, they made themselves some fig leaves and they went and hid because they were ashamed. They realized they had lost that spirit connection, that spirit relationship. And so the Word was made flesh to bring that back, to bring us back to God. You know, how do you begin to have that relationship with God? How do you start on that road to have that flesh be made into spirit? Well, it's got to start from your heart. You have to have a desire to seek God. You have to have an acknowledgement that you need something outside of yourself. You have to come sometimes to the end of your rope to realize that you can't make it by yourself. You have to come to that acknowledgement that there is something that is out there that is greater than you. You have to come to that acknowledgement that you need to have that relationship. There has to be a heart change. There has to be something in here, a desire. You know, I was talking with Brother Jesse Darrow. They moved to Tennessee, to Chattanooga. And he was telling me that, it's in the Bible Belt. And so he said to me, everybody is saved. Everybody's saved. He says in Chattanooga, there's more churches per capita than anywhere else in the whole U.S., And he said, everybody on the street you talk to, they're saved. They already have God. Sounds good to me too. But you know what? It's one thing thinking you know someone, and it's another thing if they know you. See, I know Bill Gates, but Bill Gates does not know me. There's a big difference. If Bill Gates knew me, I could ask him for a favor. So lots of people think they know God, but does God know them? That's a difference. He was telling me everyone down there says they know God. They're saved. But the trouble is, one of these days God may say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. See, a relationship has to be two-way. It has to start with a sorrowful heart. It has to start with a desire to please him, to know him. It has to start a transformation. That's the key to the flesh being made spirit. It's when you know that you're on this journey is when, you know, you could give back as good as you got, but something says, no, I won't do that. When someone speaks to you in a way and you want to give them back a piece of your mind and the Spirit stops you. It's when you could curse your enemy, but you decide, you know what, I'm going to pray for them. They don't understand what they're doing. That's what it takes for the flesh to be made spirit. As long as you're in the flesh, you're going to give them back as much as you can and more, right? Scratch my back, I'll rip yours apart. But that's not what the Word was made flesh for. He came that our flesh should be made spirit. And the only way that can start is with a transformation. That's the flesh yielding to the Spirit. In fact, when you would do something of your flesh, you say no. You let the Spirit minister through you. So how is the process started? Well, you have to bring the flesh to Jesus. You can't do it by yourself. You cannot be who you think you want to be by yourself. That's why the Bible says that He gave us the Spirit to endue us with power. The greatest power is not the power to do miracles. The greatest power is the power to live from sin. Because there's many people who experience miracles, but they're not changed. They're the same as they were the day before. Yes, they got a miracle. Yes, they got a deliverance, but their inside is not changed. The greatest power of the Holy Spirit is to change the flesh into spirit. The Word was made flesh so that our flesh could be made spirit. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, we see how the process works of the flesh being made spirit. First, the body, the flesh, has to be brought to Jesus. And we see this in the case of a man who had been lame, who had a disease with his legs. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. He had been paralyzed, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and we talked about this Tuesday night, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven." And everybody looked at him as if he was crazy. See, the first thing God is going to do to transform flesh into spirit is to forgive your sins. First, you have to bring that flesh to Him for Him to work with it. He is not going to come and beat you up. You have to come to Him. You have to want to be changed. You have to be wanting to have a relationship. You know, there are people called stalkers, and they want to have a relationship with a celebrity. So they really are determined. They will take a ticket, fly to Los Angeles, take the famous tour, find out the house, and then they start to try and break in. That's determination. Imagine if we could have that determination to have a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what we need today if you want your flesh to be turned into spirit. So the first thing on this journey of flesh being made spirit is your sins forgiven. You have to bring that flesh to Jesus, and then He will forgive you. He said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven." That was the first step. And everyone looked and said, "You can't do that. You're but a man. You can't forgive sins." And Jesus said, "Just to show you that I have the power not only to forgive sins," then He took the next step. Be healed. See, when you bring yourself to Jesus, the first thing He's going to do is forgive your sins. And then on the step to changing this flesh into spirit, He's going to heal you. That might be mentally. He may heal your spirit. Maybe you have been abused. Maybe you had a terrible upbringing. Maybe you went through all kinds of tribulations and you need some inner healing. There's so many people that are hurting. So many people are carrying a weight of load of all the things they have been through. And the first thing Jesus wants to do after you come to Him is relieve you of that burden. He wants to let you know that you are loved, that you were born with a purpose. No matter what has happened to you, He can heal it. He can take it over. He can purge it from your life. The Bible says that the old things are passed away. In Christ, you are a new creature. You start as if you're a brand new person when you come to Christ. When you are baptized in His name, all your sins are washed away. You become a brand new creature. So the first thing, your sins are forgiven. Then you are healed. And then you got to do something. He's going to give you a job. After the disciples were brought in as disciples, then, and they had learned a little bit, they were commissioned. They were given a task. He said, "Go out. Go into all of the cities of Judea, and I want you to start to preach the good news. Tell other people how they can be delivered, how they can be saved, how their sins can be washed away, how their burdens can be lifted." As I've said so many times, if you knew right now, that God was looking down at you and was pleased with you, and He could say, "This is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm..." Imagine. Think about this. I want you to really think about this. Imagine if right now you believed God was really pleased with you. Boy, would you be happy? You know why? Because that means the relationship That means when you pray, he's going to hear. See, that's the test. That's what God wants. He wants that relationship. He wants our flesh to be made spirit. The Word was made flesh, was incarnated in Mary's womb for a purpose. Not for us to just have a Christmas tree and sing carols and bring gifts, but that this flesh could eventually be made spirit. See, the Word changes things. John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," that means makes alive. "The flesh profiteth nothing." It's going to fade away. You ever looked at these movie stars when they're young? And then now? All the money in the world, all the beauty treatments in the world, all the skin stretching in the world. There is a point where this is going to fade away. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the inside you need to make beautiful. And I'm afraid there's no Botox, there's no plastic surgery that can do it. You need to come to Dr. Jesus. And his fees are very low. My burden is easy. Amen. He will clean you up and you look so beautiful. You look so beautiful. You see, this world is really a matrix. What we see is not really what is there spiritually. If we could truly see in the spirit world, maybe we'd be shocked. I know all of you got in front of the bathroom mirror today and kind of looked at your teeth and made sure nothing was sticking out and combed your hair. But you know, we're here today to look into the mirror of God's Word. Amen. And let His Word change us from flesh into spirit. That's why we're here today. I hope that's why you're here, so that the Word will operate upon us. It says, "It is the Spirit that makes alive," quickeneth, makes alive. "The flesh profiteth nothing." I had gone pretty long time without having any aches and pains, and I was getting kind of proud about it. I felt pretty good. You know, I'm 60, and I can still jog a couple miles, and you know, and I see some people younger than me, and they're still not doing. And I was getting kind of, I guess I was getting a little bit proud about that. Then on Thursday, I was on the treadmill, and probably I was overdoing it just a little bit because I was feeling, you know, look at me, I can still run, I can do 2 miles walking, I can jog 2 miles, and I'm feeling so good. Then about a quarter mile before the end, something happened. Something happened. I didn't tell my wife this yet. Something happened, and the Lord let me know I'm still flesh. And I tried to finish, but I couldn't. I just had to hold this hip and just kind of try and look good on the treadmill. And yeah, I'm finishing early because I did my part. Okay, it's cool. It's okay. Scripture says, "This flesh profiteth little." Amen. But the words that Jesus speaks, those are spirit and they are life. I don't know what you'll look like in heaven. You'll be recognized. I don't know if you look at, you know, you'll look like an 18-year-old or whatever. I know that whatever it will be glorious. The Bible says that when we see him, we shall be like him. Isn't that awesome? That means we're going to have a glorified body. No more hip problems, bone problems, diabetes problems, breathing problems, hair loss problems, gray hair problems. I cheat. Never mind. Amen. See, we will be having a glorified body. That's when the flesh has been truly made spirit. So how is the flesh made spirit? Well, it has to die. 1 Corinthians 15:42, and I'm not going to be whole very long. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42 says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead." Paul is explaining how it is that we're going to be seen in heaven, how we're going to be changed. The Bible says that this mortal must put on immortality. So he's explaining about how this is going to work. So he says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption." It is sown in corruption. You know, when someone older dies, you know, 80, 85, they never seem to put a reason. They just said, so-and-so died. But actually, there's a reason. Maybe their heart failed or their kidneys failed or something failed. But when you get that old, they don't put down a reason because it's going to happen. It's sown in corruption. This body is sown in corruption. But if you have been baptized in his name, if you have been filled with this Spirit, it's going to be raised. The Bible says if this same Spirit that quickened our Lord dwell in your mortal body, it is going to make you alive. It is sown in dishonor. When people die, it's always usually for, unless it's suicide, and even that, there's a reason. It's a mental reason. But it's because something has dishonored the body. Maybe the heart has failed, the kidneys have failed. It's sown in dishonor, but it's going to be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. This is the point of what I'm saying. The Word was made flesh. Jesus came as a baby and was incarnated so that this flesh, your flesh, my flesh, could be made spirit. Isn't that awesome? It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. And this natural body is going to age. It's going to decay. It's going to have, as they say, twinges in the hinges. Twinges in the... I can't even say it. My tongue's going to pray for me. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That body that was given to him when he was first created was perfect. It was perfect. But because of sin, all of these things came in. Entropy came in. Decay came in. That's why the Word was made flesh, so that this flesh could be made spirit. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but which is natural. That's why the Word was made flesh. That was first, so that he could come and we could be made spirit. Amen. The Word was made flesh so that the flesh could be made spirit. If you could stand with me this morning. The wise men came to see the Word made flesh. And they brought some gifts. And these three gifts represent symbolically so many things. But one of the things that the gifts represent, gold. Gold is something that has been purified. Gold is something that has gone through fire. I remember seeing a program how they made these gold coins. And they, when they're finished with the process, they stamp them four nines, 0.999%, you know, 99.49% pure. But to get to that level of purity, they had to go through the fire a few times. I worked in a steel mill, and I saw how they make things pure. They melt it. It goes through fire. And the fire burns up all the scum, and all the scum comes to the top. And then they take this thing and they scrape it off. And then they put the lance, the furnace, the thing that blows the oxygen back down, and they heat it up some more. And as they do that, the temperature rises, more of the scum comes to the top. And they keep scraping it off. You know, that's the gift that they brought. When we bring this flesh, one of the gifts we got to bring is gold, meaning we're going to have to go through some purification. The second gift that they brought was frankincense. And that was the thing that was poured upon the altar of incense. That represented their prayers, their requests, their priesthood. When we come to him, we've got to bring our words. We've got to dedicate our mouth. We can't let the same stuff that comes out all day be the same. Because the Bible says it's what we speak. What comes out of a man is what? Defiles him. We have to bring the gift of frankincense, which represents the words of our mouth. The last thing that the wise men brought was myrrh. And that was used for embalming, for embalming a body. You know what that represents? The death of this flesh. That's what we got to bring to him. When we do those things, then we're fulfilling the purpose of the Word made flesh so that our flesh could be made spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want the fulfillment of what Jesus came to do 2,000 years ago, then we have to bring him those gifts. That means sometimes we're going to be suffering for his name. Sometimes we're going to have to watch our lips, what we say. And then thirdly, we're going to have to be prepared to let this flesh die. Maybe literally, maybe only symbolically. But that's what it takes for the flesh to be made spirit. He did the first part. Word was made flesh. Now it's up to us to make the flesh through his spirit active. Amen. We're going to close this service. We only have a week to 2018. And I really, really, really think we're living in momentous times. Momentous times. I used to think that certain countries were extremely stable. And you couldn't have the things that go on in other countries in, say, the U.S. But I think we're going to be in for a surprise. And things that we think could never happen in this country can happen. It's time to make sure that our flesh is brought to him. Just like the man on the pallet was brought before Jesus, and he was then able to take it, forgive his sins, and heal him. Jesus said, before he went, he took the bread, which represents the word, and he said, take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you. Next week, Sunday night, we're going to have communion as we go into 2018. But we can have communion right now by taking literally the word and eating it so that the flesh can be made spirit. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service. If anyone would like prayer, you're welcome to come forward and we will pray with you. Amen. That the Spirit of the Lord will move on your life. You know, the great thing about God is he is so merciful, so gracious. As I said Tuesday night, I used to remember what Jesus said to Peter about forgiveness. 70 times 7. 70 times 7. And because I grew up in a Christian household and my father was a pastor, I was far from perfect. I used to think I'm up to 445. I only have 4 more forgivenesses. I used to think I was almost out of God's mercy sometimes. But you know what? I think I've gone above that number many times. And yet he has been merciful and gracious and loving to me. And I believe today that as we go in to 2018, that let's ask God to walk with us. Or better still, let's walk with him. As we go into the future, which we don't know all the things that are going to happen. If we did, we'd just stay in our room. We'd be paralyzed. But I do know this. I don't know about the future, but I do know the one who controls it. And if he's holding your hand, if he's leading you, then there is nothing to fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. If you could bow your hearts with me this morning. Father, we come to you right now. We're asking you, Lord God, that let our relationship with you be deeper in 2018. Lord, even as we celebrate your birth, your incarnation, that your word was made flesh. Father, we ask you, Lord, to complete the journey and let our flesh be made spirit. Lord, for those who have come forward right now, Lord Jesus, Lord, you know every situation. You know what they're going through. You know whether it's healing, whether it's a family issue. You know whether it's finance. You know whether it's a job. Lord, you are not...